Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A man is known by the company he keeps. True or false? A worthy principle when you think about the ways of the world. It's not true all the time, but it's helpful. A man who regularly hangs out with thugs and criminals or hangs out in a terrorist camp, likely to be a thug, a criminal, or a terrorist. Beware. But an adult who hangs out with children weekdays from 7:30 to 3:30, not a child, but a teacher, right? You should be careful about who you surround yourself with, friends and co-workers. If you pick misbehaving friends, you'll be tempted to misbehave. But we wouldn't think that a police officer or a lawyer, just because they hang out with criminals, are misbehaving people, nor that they breaking the law. We are careful how we judge, lest we judge wrongly. Some have an office, a calling to associate with evildoers. So now we see Jesus in our text today, a man who receives tax collectors and sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees and the scribes immediately assume the worst. A man is known by the company he keeps. Jesus, who claims to be a man of God, or greater, a prophet, or perhaps maybe even the Messiah, hangs out with the wrong crowd. His company, tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, shepherds, fishermen, maybe a doctor or two. Jesus regularly hanged out with different people, different crowds. But when seen around the worst of the worst in society, or the cheaters, the sinners, you see the Pharisees and the scribes had a motivation to be skeptical. They also had a spiritual blind spot for Jesus, a bias against the Holy One of God. They refused to even want to consider the claim of who he is, or judge by the works he does, or the prophecies that he fulfills. Instead, they find the easy argument, the evidence that they can twist to meet their own agenda. And we, friends, we can sit here and judge them, but we do the same things. We do it for people that we don't like, the people we don't want to accept or associate with at all. We cut off fellowship with those whom we don't desire because it's not convenient, or it might cause us to change or sacrifice something of ourselves to help them. If only we could judge like God. If only we could see people as God sees them, that is, as sinners, in need of real repentance and forgiveness continually. Because the nature of man is corrupt, as the Bible says, continually, ever since Adam. You see, God looks at us as lost sheep, looks graciously at his creatures through the person whom he sent to find them, to die and rise in their place, to show them the way, to redeem them for eternity. Therefore, who do you expect Jesus to hang out with, to receive and eat with? With only the good and upright people who follow the law outwardly, but inwardly their hearts want to do otherwise? Maybe Jesus should only hang out with Jews because that's the people whom he came to save, right? Just the Jews? Or does he not hang out with some Samaritans too? Only the religious crowd? and not the outsiders? Should Jesus eat with cheating tax collectors, with prostitutes, with the homeless, with the sick and the dying, with criminals, with foreigners, fishermen, shepherds, doctors, lawyers? Yes. Yes, and even with you. This is also the meaning of the parable about the man having 100 sheep. If he loses one, he leaves the 99 in the open country and goes after the one who is lost until he finds it. He'll put energy and effort into bringing that one back. We often think of our parable here, or interpret this parable to be about mission to those not already part of God's people, bringing them in. But it is actually about Jesus going after the one who is lost in sin and error and in danger from fierce wolves and false teaching and false belief, and finding them in repentance with nowhere to turn but to a loving, forgiving God who goes after them even in their sinful state. For such persons, for you, you who hear and repent, having tasted and seen that the Lord is good, knowing what kind of God he is, what kind of shepherd who comes after you, a forgiving one, one whom he sends for you because he loves you and calls you out of sin and death and into a life of holiness and peace to know him. For those who do such that and know him in that way, there is more joy in heaven than over the 99 who are just hanging about and need no need of repentance, who trust perhaps in the law and not in the good news, the gospel of who God is and what he has come to do. The same is true for the woman who loses one of her 10 coins. She sweeps diligently the house until she finds it, and when found, she rejoices. And not she alone, but she shares the joy with her neighbors. Just so, Jesus said in the text, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Boy, if heaven is a full place of repentant sinners, not one, but let's say 144,000, or let's say a great multitude that nobody can number, from every language and tribe and nation and people, well, heaven will be a joyful place, will it not? A shared with all who are around there, the faithful who were lost but have been found, who were blind but now they see. A man is known by the company he keeps. Jesus is known not by the sin of sinners, but by the salvation that he brings to lost ones, so that there may be joy in heaven. May we have ears to hear and believe it. In Jesus' name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.